Hello, friends. I am Chris Chavez, and welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. This is my show where I chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. Our guests sit down and open up in depth to share brilliant insights and vivid snapshots from their professional and personal accomplishments, as well as their experiences within the sport. Today's episode is presented by Tracksmith. Tracksmith is an independent running brand inspired by a deep love of the sport. For years, the brand has elevated running wear using the best in-class materials and timeless silhouettes that perform at the highest levels. Well, now they're doing the same with footwear. The Elliott Runner was developed to meet the rigorous demands of committed runners, providing the perfect balance of cushioning and responsiveness with the classic Tracksmith style. The inspiration for the Elliott Runner started with the feeling that many runners experience, the delight in finding a natural surface while out for a run. Logging thousands of miles across New England, the Tracksmith team found those moments on pine needle trails, wood chip paths, and old indoor tracks. That's the sensation that they wanted to bring to the roads. Soft, resilient, responsive, and ready for anything. So step into the Elliott Runner. It's a PBAX powered trainer inspired by the pep of New England's natural surfaces. See the Elliott Runner in person at Tracksmith's pop-up locations at the Chicago Marathon and at their Boston store this fall before an exclusive opportunity to pre-order them on October 24th. For more information, visit tracksmith.com/sidious. It'll redirect you to all of the information about the Elliott Runner. And when you shop around on Tracksmith's website, use promo code SidiousMag for free shipping, and 5% of your sale will go towards the Release Recovery Foundation, a nonprofit supporting those in need of substance abuse and mental illness treatment through scholarships. Before we get into today's episode, I also want to thank all of our backers on Patreon who keep us going strong. With your support, we're able to plan for on-location coverage at races. It helps us with travel costs, helps us with website and podcast expenses, helps us with editing across all the different shows on the City of Smag Network. You can see all of our work on YouTube, this podcast feed, Instagram, Twitter, and of course on SidiousMag.com. A big shout out to Lane Weber for signing up within the past week. And if you want to join the club, sign up today at patreon.com/sidiousmag. We've got people donating anything from $1 a month, and we even have some people who contribute 20 or 30 bucks a month. And for those of you who are unable to commit to a monthly contribution, you can also make a one-time donation by sending any dollar amount over to SidiousMag on Venmo. You can consider Venmo like a virtual tip jar. If you chip in, attach any message you want, and we'll shout it out on the next pod. Like, for example, shout out to Nate Valleyman for the contribution and writing in saying that the podcast pushed me through the Chicago Marathon build. Thanks for the content. Go out and give them your all in Chicago, Nate. I hope you have better weather than I did last year. It's a great course. Enjoy the day. Last but not least, I'm grateful for all of you who take a moment to shout out the podcast on your Instagram stories and on Twitter. The athletes and guests also appreciate the love, so tag us and we'll be able to thank you accordingly. And if you haven't already done so, consider leaving a little rating and review on iTunes' Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Thanks, everyone, for your continued support. My guest for this episode is two-time NCAA cross-country champion Connor Mance. He is getting ready to make his marathon debut at the Chicago Marathon. Over the past 12 months, he has earned national titles in the half marathon and the 20K. He's got a 1 hour and 55 second personal best for the half marathon, which puts him at number 9 on the all-time US list, so there's plenty to be excited about over his potential at the 26.2 mile distance. We talk all about that, his expectations for the race after he told Kyle Merber that he was possibly targeting a 208, plus how much he wants to focus on the track, and much more. As a bonus, we also get his cross-country predictions. So without further ado, here is Connor Mance. All right, and now we welcome back on Connor Mance to the City of Smag podcast. First time I guess I'm getting ready to introduce you as a soon-to-be marathoner. So how's training been going?
It's been going great. I don't know, the last 12 weeks, I think I had 1 week where I would say it wasn't close to perfect. So maybe not perfect. Maybe that's not the right word. I don't want to say something like that and jinx myself for the marathon, but it's been going great. I had a lot of good workouts, training with Clayton Young and Jared Ward occasionally. I've loved it because The workouts are more geared toward me, I think, than I think like track stuff really is. I think I'm better on the longer workouts, so I don't know, I get a little bit of my strength is I don't know, things I'm good at, I do more often. And that's nice, although I'm more exhausted than usual as well. So
There's so much excitement over your marathon debut, just given what we've been able to see from you at some of the longer distances once you've hit the roads, that half marathon. Where does your excitement sort of compare to everyone else's? Like, are you kind of just like, all right, I hope it's race day? Has this feeling been there over the past like 2, 3 weeks where you're like, I just wish it was race day?
More so over the last week, I think with just the consistent high miles, I was just so tired that I'm like, I don't want it to come anytime soon because I'm exhausted. But now that we've kind of started back, we backed off a lot last week, Clayton and I, and doing the Coach Istone taper. It's like now I'm like, okay, like any day that I can race, like let's do it.
So what went into choosing Chicago and running a marathon in the first place? I mean, you just finished fourth at the US Championships in the 5K and also seventh in the 10K. So it's not like you're one of these people whose, track days are behind him.
No, and I definitely think I'll be running the track, come next year, and running cross country come next year, and probably running another marathon come next year. That's kind of the plan as of right now. But I think, choosing a marathon in general, I'll start off with that question. It's just kind of like something I've always wanted to do. When I was, I don't know, the way I got into running, I think I discussed this with you. Oh, it was like a year ago or 2 years ago, whenever we talked. I like it was, as a kid, it was, I want to finish a half marathon. And at age 12. And then it was like the next thing in my mind was, I want to finish a marathon. Now I want to run a faster half marathon. And so just kind of going with that, it was like, it's always been something I've wanted to do. But then my parents were like, no, like that's too far for any kid to run. They kind of put their foot down at a half marathon and were like, that's it. And then in high school, it was like, okay, now we're running like cross country, I guess. Now I guess I'll do track and start to be running, the 800, the mile, the 2 mile. But there's always in the back of my mind been like, I want to do the marathon. And that's probably one of the reasons I ended up coming to BYU, was just knowing that, Coach Iston was the type of guy who would, prep his athletes for the marathon. Jared Ward is a, great example of that. But like, I mean, guys I was teammates with, like Connor McMillan and Rory Linkletter have, I mean, Connor McMillan was 10th at New York the same year he was fourth in the 10K at the US Championships. Rory's around like 210 right now. And so it's like, it's a lot of people just, I don't know, I think the program prepares you to jump in a marathon. And then I think Coach Istone, when he was professional, he would be able to do, he'd run world cross, he'd run the world championships in the 10K, and then he'd run a marathon that same year. And it's just like, oh yeah, like that just kind of seems like, I don't know, why limit yourself to one event only? That's kind of something I see in my mind. It's like, why would I limit myself to being only a track guy when maybe the marathon's my best event right now? Why Chicago? Coach Istone crushed it there. And it's a fast one. It's in the US, so there's always some good things about that. And then it's a major. So just kind of those simple reasons.
I feel like you answered this other question that I had kind of written down ahead of time, and it seems like the answer is Coach Istone, but I'm curious if you've got any other names that pop into your head. Is there another athlete out there that you want to try and emulate in terms of just how you go about building out your race schedule? Because you're clearly, very good on the roads. You've shown success on the track this year, cross country as well. You're probably going to take very well to the marathon. So how are you going to go about prioritizing like what races to choose from? Coach Istone seemed to have done like a really good, job in the past. You've got other of his athletes, someone like Jared, who after he found success in the marathon, just kind of said, all right, I'm sticking to just the roads and just the marathon. You kind of want to dabble in all of it. So how do you kind of foresee making all of this work?
I think, that's a great question. I think just the balance and give and take. I think, you know, it's going to be, I'm always going to be looking toward which race gets me the most excited. And then I don't know. One thing Jared actually brought up about kind of, you know, Icestone's training is you're always 2 weeks away from a great race. Like, that's the way Coach Icestone trains you. You're always just 2 weeks out from, you know, a great race. You can sign up for, I could sign up, like, just where I'm at right now, I could sign up for a mile and run a great mile right now. I could sign up. I mean, I'm doing Chicago, but, like, that's kind of the way we're trained. And so, like, yeah, maybe there aren't very many athletes who do it, but it's just trying to figure out what gets me the most excited. Marathon's been one thing for a while. I mean, I'd love to go back and run a mile, actually. Like, I haven't broken four. Didn't really have many chances to run the mile in college. And it's like, that excites me. And so I think as long as I'm, whatever race I'm getting the most excited about, like, that's what I'm going to do.
Is it too crazy to think, I guess, like, you're looking forward to this Sunday, but World Cross, have you started thinking about that, possibly putting that on your calendar?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And World Cross is, you know, something that I wanted to do. And if, I mean, heck, if they had done it, when was it originally? Was it, so every year that, like, it's, I don't know, supposed to happen since 2019, I've been like, I want to do it. Like, even in 2019, I was asking Coach at Icestone, I was like, can I redshirt? Or, well, I wasn't going to redshirt indoors, but I was like, can I also do US Cross? Like, and he's just like, no, not this year. And then, you know, he just kept getting put off. But, like, World Cross, definitely a thing I want to do. I mean, that gets me excited. Kind of like I said, like, I want to go against, I don't know, I feel like I did well in the NCAA. I did well against the American talent and, you know, some of the foreign talent that was here. But I want to do, like, I want to see how good I am across the world, you know, and competing with the best of the best, because I'm better at cross country than I am on the track. Mm-hmm. And I have more fun with cross country. So that's something I don't know. It's on the schedule. I don't know. I would also be excited to run like the Houston half or something, but those are within a week, US Cross in Houston. So I don't think that's going to happen, but yeah, World Cross. I'm excited for that. That's kind of the next, the plan right now. That's the next big thing after the marathon.
Mm-hmm. Can you walk me through your feelings of, you know, since you signed up for this marathon, has that excitement been there the entire time? Or, because I'm trying to think, you know, some of these pro runners, when they're going into their first marathon, there's a little bit of, you know, it feels daunting and there's some trepidation and they don't get excited until, you know, the workouts start clicking. So for you, has that excitement been there from the very beginning? And I guess at what point did you get the most excited for this debut?
Ooh, this is some great questions. So definitely was excited about it. I kind of knew it was going to be Chicago back in like early June before the US championships on the track, but I was still hoping to make the world champs in the fives. So I, you know, just kept training, kind of tried to focus on that. And then I got really excited just early on. Like, well, after the US champs in the five, I was like, what am I doing? I mean, I'm in amazing 5K shape. I need to go, like, I don't know. I was like, what if I could break 13? Like, I mean, it's like, maybe I could, maybe I couldn't, but I wanted to go give it a shot. But then there weren't any fast 5Ks coming up until post-world championship. So coach was like, no, like, it's either Chicago or this 5K. Like, and you know, he's like, you know what you want. And I'm like, yeah, I want the marathon. So there was a little bit of the excitement kind of like going like, oh man, like after running 13:11 and, you know, a hot day that I didn't really feel like that I felt like was, probably my best 5K I've ever run, but I felt like there were some little things I could improve on. It's like, man, I just want to jump in another five. But I don't know, workouts pretty early on. Like we did an 8 mile PMP projected marathon pace. It's always faster than at your marathon paces, but it's kind of goal marathon pace minus a few seconds. And I did that, I think it was a couple of weeks after. Maybe it was the week after the 8K champs. And I was just like, I don't know, I think I ran like 4:47 pace and just felt like smooth, like felt like I was barely trying. And then I had another workout not long after that where I was running, I think it was 4:34 for tempo. It's like 6 miles, and it was just all on my own with Coach Eystone there with the stopwatch. And it was just like, I just felt good. And I was like, okay, like, as the workouts kept coming, I was like, I just got more and more excited. So I don't know if there was an exact time. It's let's test it out. But I think as the, I don't know, just kind of as the training was going along, it was like, oh man, like that felt good. Like this workout felt smooth. And like, I don't know, New Haven got me a little nervous just because I felt like in that race, my legs weren't moving as like smooth as usual. But I think I just went into the race a little too tired, and it wasn't like, I don't know, it's not a super fast course by any means, and it was just humid. Well, I say it's not a fast course, but then Kira D'Amato and Emily Sisson made it a fast course. I was blaming it on the weather and being like, yeah, there's no way anyone's gonna run faster today, but the woman did. So, but sorry, side tangent, but like, I don't know, just as time went on.
This show is presented by Velus Recovery Footwear. Velus is an active recovery footwear brand designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. After 2 years in development, this team has created the world's most comfortable, supportive, and lightweight active recovery shoe in the world. We talk a lot about high performance and training on the City of Smack podcast, but I want to take a second and tell you about something equally important to performing your best, and that's recovery. This is something that I've learned over the years, and I can't stress it enough. Take the time to recover properly. One recovery trick is to make sure that you're putting on the right footwear after your run, because your feet take a beating, whether you're training or you're racing. And a new brand that Kyle and I have discovered over the last couple months is Velus Active Recovery Footwear. This brand was started by three athletic footwear industry veterans that really know what they're doing. They created what they call Tri-Motion underfoot technology that cushions, supports, and flexes in all the right spots and is engineered to let your feet heal faster and better. Plus, these shoes are so lightweight. I've been wearing them for a while now and absolutely love them. I rock them to and from a track workout. Kyle puts them on after races. Velus Active Recovery Footwear should be in your footwear mix and part of your plan to perform at your best. So check out Velus Footwear at velusfootwear.com. That's VELOUS footwear.com. Grab a pair today and get 20% off with discount code CityusMag20. Use capital C and capital M in that discount code CityusMag20 at checkout. Now you can experience what recovery footwear should feel like. The City of Smack podcast is also presented by Final Surge. No matter if you're an athlete or a coach, Final Surge helps plan and attain both short and long-term training success. Their free online training log is compatible with Garmin, Strava, Polar, Stride, Coros, and a slew of other apps and devices. If you're a coach, Final Surge makes planning and analyzing workouts super simple and helps streamline that communication between you and your athletes. Some of the top coaches in the world who have been guests on this show use it on a daily basis. If you're an athlete out there hammering out miles and tempo runs solo with no guidance or direction, Final Surge is also here to offer up some world-class training programs. Get yourself a training plan for that fall 10K or that half marathon or that full that's on your calendar. They've got plans from NAZ Elite. You can hit some classics with Greg McMillan or Boston Marathon champion Amby Burfoot, who are on there as coaches. If you're a fan of the sport and are curious how the pros are training, Stephanie Bruce and the rest of the NAZ Elite squad share all of their training logs on Final Surge. This is your chance to look at Stephanie Bruce's preparation for her Grit Tour finale at the New York City Marathon. Give it all a look at finalsurge.com and use code Sidious for 10% off plans and coaching subscriptions. I can't recommend it enough. Finalsurge.com, code Sidious for 10% off. Back to the show we go. So last month, after that 20K, Kyle sees you at the finish line and you tell him if everything goes well, sub 208 was realistic and 207 might be a stretch goal. A month later, how are you feeling about that statement?
You know, like, if you would ask me last week, I would have said, like, I want to go, like, I want to just go for it, go for the sub 207, like, and see what happens. But now I'm feeling like, okay, maybe my mouth's getting a little too fast. I think sub 208 is really kind of the goal. I think, I would love to go out in 63:30 and see what happens, but I just know the marathon's a different beast those last 6 miles. So I feel good about sub 208 mm-hmm. being kind of the goal and the plan. And I think Coach Iceland does too. For the longest time, I thought sub 208 was 4:50 pace, just because that's what Coach Iceland had said one day. But he mistyped it in his text message. So it's 4:53 pace, which actually makes me feel like a lot more confident in sub 208, because this whole time I've been thinking, all right, 4:50 per mile. Not even thinking, I should check this math out on my own. But yeah, I think sub 208 is reasonable. I don't know. I just think I know where my strengths are. I know where, you know, I'm good. So I think if I don't know. Plus, unlike a lot of the marathoners prior to this time, like in the last few years, I have super shoes. So
yeah, you get to reap the benefits of that for sure. I was thinking about this earlier too, kind of how, you know, you're only a year and a half basically removed from competing in the NCAA, and you've competed in a lot of US road races, US championship road races, and, you know, a lot of meets here domestically, that you really haven't gone up against, you know, a bunch of East Africans, and you're up against five sub 205 guys. This is easily the most international field that you've ever gone up against. What excites you about that? Because where you might be thinking sub 208, there's going to be a moment where these guys might make a break and they are going to try and win it in 204, 205, 206. And you've got to kind of wrangle in a little bit of that excitement.
Oh, I know. And honestly, that's something that kind of like, I've been like having to tell myself over and over and over again, like, make sure like you're calm that those first few miles and don't go with the top guys if they're running like 4:45 or 4:47. Cause you know, 4:47 on the road, 4:45, that feels, you know, that feels fine when you're doing it for, you know, a half marathon or so. But then the moment you hit mile 20, I'm just expecting that would just kind of wreck me. So I think I don't know. One thing that I know one of my old teammates, Connor McMillan, did at New York is a mile into the race, he saw they were sub five at New York and he let the whole elite field go. And so he's in last place in the elite field running on his own. And I was just watching it on TV. Dude, watch the broadcast you're going to be on. And he ended up just, I don't know, last 10K making it into the top 10 and finished 10th. And like, I don't think he got into 10th until like a half mile to go or something like that. Or maybe even less. But it's like, you can't get too excited. There were some really, really good marathoners in that race that day. And he just was like, he beat a lot of really good marathoners because he didn't get too excited. And I just know that like, it's something that's difficult for me because I don't know, I went to, it's like the New York half marathon earlier this year. I kind of tried to do the same thing at mile. Like we went out a little quick and by mile, like 4 or 5, you're going up this bridge. And I kind of let the top pack go. Then we get to the top of the bridge and I'm like, oh man, I'm feeling really good. And I just kind of flew down the bridge. I think my watch said I ran like something like a 4:17 mile in there. going down this bridge, trying to catch up to that front pack. And then I died, was on my own for, well, I guess Sam Chalinga was, I caught up to him and then he just sat on me until we got to the finish. And so I guess I wasn't completely on my own, but I had someone breathing down my neck the whole last 5 miles of the race. And so I tried to, when I got to Peachtree, so the two times I've really gone against like a bunch of East Africans. Then when I got to Peachtree, I was like, I'm just not going to let him go. And then we dropped like a 408 on one of those downhill miles or 410 or something. And I was like, okay, I got to let him go. And then everybody in that race fell apart because it's uphill and then the rest of the way. And it was just kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I want to do. I'm supposed to do, but it is hard because letting them go like that at New York, I just felt like I was too far away to make a move to catch them and, you know, run in a pack, but I was just kind of in no man's land for a bit. And it just kind of like wore on me because it was like, man, this isn't fun. Like I want to be up there nitty gritty and then just, you know, fall off the pack. I don't want to you know, run my own pace and then just watch these guys finish ahead of me. So I think, I don't know. I think I'm just going to, you know, have to run my pace, even though it pains me to do it, to just let the race happen in front of me.
The City Smack podcast is also supported by Garmin. They dropped a whole new line of watches this summer with six amazing versions of the Forerunner. I rock the Forerunner 955 Solar. It's got a touchscreen and a solar-powered watch face so that you can get some extra juice when you're out for a long run in the sun. It collects a ton of data outside of the hour or two or three that you're out for a run because it takes into account your sleep, recovery time, HRV, and stress to give you a training readiness score every day so you know how you just might feel before your next workout and ways so that you can improve that score so you can crush it. It's got incredible battery life that lasts for days. You will get the most out of your training and take things to the next level with the Forerunner 955 or 955 Solar. I've been wearing it for 3 months now and I'm still discovering new features and apps. My favorite feature is the morning report, which gives you an overview of the previous day, how you slept, what's the weather, what meetings do you have coming up, what workout is on tap. You can customize all of the information that's delivered to your watch each morning. It always ends with a nice note like, go crush it today, which is just what you need to get going. Visit Garmin.com for more information on the Forerunner 955 and the Forerunner 255 series that Runner's World says is more accurate than ever. Visit Garmin.com today. The City Smack podcast is also brought to you by Article One. Article One is an independent eyewear brand on a mission to create athletic sunglasses that transcend sport. As runners, the designers behind Article One had never found a pair of technical sunglasses that matched their style. So they went out and made their own. Designed with your entire day in mind, Article One takes you from a long run in the morning to drinks on the patio in the evening. I saw US World Championship marathoner Emma Bates rocking a pair as she trains for the New York City Marathon. I've been wearing them in my return to running, but I also just rock these walking around New York City. They don't look like your typical running sunglasses that you wear while you're just on the track or on the roads. They're for any social occasion as well. Just recently, they launched their new evolution of active frames. So they've got the Clifford, the H, Baron, Emmeline, and Moon. Check them out for yourself. They've got the look of the type of sunglasses that you'd pick up in a store in Soho, but that you can wear to your next PR. Article One is offering 20% off to Sidious Mag listeners with code Sidious at checkout. So go to article1eyewear.com and enter Sidious at checkout to save 20%. That's article1eyewear.com, code Sidious. Last year, I think it was, what, five American men finished in the top 10. Galen was the top guy in 206. But if you look at that top 10, there's a few of those people, at least like from the American side, that you've beat on the roads quite a couple times. So does that give you any sort of like confidence that you can compete for something like a podium spot or, you know, see how high you can finish, even if, you know, some of these PRs on paper are, you know, sub 205?
Oh, absolutely. I think that fifth place wise is realistic, but again, it's too hard to tell. you know, because the field is somewhat similar to how it was last year. And like, I don't know, going in, kind of closing in the finish, I know like my teammate Clayton Young, he was in seventh or eighth, and then he collapsed with 800 meters to go. And I think he finished 13th. But, you know, knowing that people I train with and I compete against, kind of like you said, like they're in that, I don't know, that top 10 group. So I think absolutely a fifth place finish, a podium I would love, but I feel like a podium is like, it's like, you know, it's that excitement level. It's like, you have that goal and it's like, I feel like that's a little too out there to be like, you know, top three in a field like this. But I think if I run my best race and, you know, somebody else has like bad luck happen, yeah, podiums totally like can happen, but I think it's just going to take more bad luck for someone else.
About a year ago, right before the USATF Half Marathon Championships, you had said how you felt like the half marathon was your best distance. So now with a whole marathon training cycle under your belt, granted, I know the results on Sunday will probably weigh into your opinion as to whether the marathon's going to be is your best event. But how do you sort of feel right now in terms of just like of the track success, the half marathon, you know, and this marathon that's coming up? What do you think is going to be your best event when we're if we were to chat a week from now?
I think on paper it'll probably be the marathon, but I still think I could run. I think I can really run, like, I don't know. I think I can run pretty close to the American record in the half. I know that's kind of, you know, blowing smoke because I don't really have anything lined up to even go for it. But I think that's going to be, I don't know, that's kind of going to be my best distance if I run it right. But yeah, after this weekend, I think on paper, my best will be that marathon.
Mm-hmm. What's different working with Coach Istone in a marathon buildup versus, you know, a year ago prepping for cross country season? Obviously more mileage and being more tired and falling asleep, I guess more oftentimes than not. But what has there been anything that really stood out to you about his coaching style or how he gets his guys ready? Because you've been able to watch it for a long time, but now you are doing it.
Yeah. So Clayton mentioned this to me after I initially went pro, and he's like, you'll see it eventually. And I do see it. He's a lot more like always trying to slow the college guys up, always trying to keep them from going too fast. But then the pros, he'll like, all right, we're doing 800s. Like, let's start out in 208. And then you're like, wait, like, and he's a lot more aggressive in his pacing. Like, I mean, we did an 8 mile, another 8 mile PMP last week on Tuesday. And it's like, okay, like, so you want us to practice like our actual marathon pace, like our goal marathon pace, or what do you want us to do? And he's like, what did you guys hit last time? We're like, oh, we hit like 447. And he's like, or 448. He's like, yeah, let's hit 448. And like, he's very like, he's a lot more aggressive. Usually when it's like the college guys, if they were doing like a 5 mile tempo, he'd be like, all right, guys, no going faster than five flat pace the first 3 miles or something like that. Or even 505. And so it's like I'd run tempos in college in like the low 440s. And there were many times he'd start me out on a tempo and say, like low 440s average. He'd be like, actually, let's relax today. Relax today. We got a race coming up in X amount of time. And he would just be, he's so much more aggressive with the training of the marathoners and the pro guys. While the college guys, he's very conservative. He doesn't want them to get hurt. He doesn't want them to, he's more worried, I feel like, about getting the college guys hurt than he is about the pro guys. And he just wants the pro guys to just crush everything.
I guess on Strava, we saw the 800 repeats that you did last week. Kyle sent it in a group chat that we have and was like, I don't understand marathon training. So what that's one of the, I guess, last workouts leading into Chicago. What do you take away, I guess, from that last little bit of tune-up that you have in practice before, you know, now we're days away from the big show?
Yeah. I mean, I think with 800s, you can't really take too much from it, just because it's so short. But I think it's a great, or compared to a marathon, I should say it's so short. But it's a great way to just like keep the legs spinning. And Coach Iceland has his little 2 week taper that he has, like all right, week before, and I know this is what Jared did before or not Tokyo, Rio. I think this is just from now on coaches go to, but it's like 2 weeks out, you do like 70 miles, you do 8 mile aggressive PMP Tuesday, you do those 800s on Thursday, and you can't really look too much at those workouts because you're starting to kind of taper down mileage wise. And then like this week, I think it's mile repeats on Tuesday at like you three or four of them at goal marathon pace. And so you really can't, I don't know, take too much from them. But I think just what I've seen is just that, if you're feeling good, you just go crush it. It's just kind of like that's it.
I'm guessing you're gonna have a lot of people probably wondering what's the shoe choice gonna be for this weekend. Is it Alphafly 2? Is that the latest model?
Yeah, that's the latest model. So I actually really like the Alphafly ones personally more. So I'm gonna go with those. Although I started to rethink my choice after Kipchoge went 201.09 or whatever it was. Like I was like, man, maybe I am better in the Alphafly twos. But then I'm like, wait, let's just we'll run this one and then we'll think about changing shoes later. But
What's your fueling strategy going to be?
I'm gonna take the Martin 320. That's what
Okay.
it's called. I don't know. I wanted to take Gatorade because it tastes better, but I don't know. It's a lot easier when you don't have to take gels as well because that 320 stuff is like super packed with calories.
Has that been interesting to try and play around with and try and dial in? I guess because in the past, I mean, for a half marathon, you don't really need a ton of fuel or anything like that. And cross country
No.
races, track races, nothing. So, for you, I guess that experimenting phase, how was that?
So, I mean, the taste of different stuff is some of it's just gross, but it's good for you. But what I think I really learned was how much better, and this is something I'm actually really wanting to relay to my college team now, is how much better you feel after a long run where you stop and take like gels or Gatorade or Powerade or whatever. I mean, if you stop and you take some electrolytes, some sugar, get some calories in you, like you feel like, I don't know, usually after a long run in college, I would just be so dead. I just want to lay down and like sleep all day, essentially. Like Saturday, be so tired. Sunday, kind of, another day of rest, but I feel better. And then like Monday, I feel great. But now it's like, now when I take, calories in my long runs, I feel like the rest of Saturday just feels like a normal day. And it's huge because it's just like I've never had that. So the experimenting of fueling, like if anything, I've just learned how to train better because I don't know, I know now, oh, like yes, I'm not going through every calorie I maybe have in like a 20-mile run, but if I take something in there, like one gel or two gels, I feel 10 times better than I do after taking nothing.
Yeah. That'll be fun to see. Unfortunately in Chicago they don't have the guy on the bike that could just kind of hand you
No.
drinks
That would be nice.
every couple splits. Yeah. All right, last thing before I let you go. I need your predictions for BYU cross country this season. They're hoping to get back on the podium. The Wood Report has them at number three in those early season projections. Casey Klinger is looking like the top guy on the team. So, how are you feeling about your BYU Cougars?
I'm excited. I mean, I think they have a shot to win, but there's like Stanford's so good. NAU, like Coach Smith knows what he's doing there, obviously. Not going out on a hot take with that. Oklahoma State, like they've done great things, and I mean, they have the home course. So I think it's going to be a good race. Like, I think this team might be better than the one, like other ones that we've had. Maybe not on paper, but like there's just got a lot of hardworking guys who are just kind of up and coming. And we got Brandon Garnica. I mean, he wasn't a factor in the Oklahoma State race at all, but he is coming back from a little injury in the summer, and I think by November he'll be good. And he does really well on that course too. So I think, I mean, I would love to see him win it. I don't think they will, but I wouldn't be surprised they did.
If you had eligibility and were still on the team, so forget the marathon training build, you would have gone into a regular cross country build. Would this have been you're attempting to go for your three-peat? Would this have been the
Okay.
hardest three-peat to try and pull off on the individual side, just considering Dylan Jacobs, Nico Young, Alex Mayer? Like, would it, like, for you, I guess, like, would you have had your hands full? Like, would this have been the toughest one? And, I mean, you would have been back on the course that you won at.
Right. I don't think so. I think the second one to win would probably was kind of the hardest because it's not a course that really did well with how I run. Like, yeah, there was a little hill in it and you run over it four times, but there wasn't like I think the Monster Hills in Oklahoma really played well to my strengths. And I think this one, I think, you know, being on that course again, I think that would have been easier to win than, for example, the one in or than the one in Florida.
All right. So we would have seen a three-peat.
Maybe. I mean, you never know what could happen. Cross
Yeah.
country is so, I don't know. It's an interesting sport. I'll just leave it at that.
All right, Connor. Well, we're excited to see you compete this weekend in Chicago. And then after that,
For
kind
sure.
of get returning to cross country with hopefully, you know, making a run for World Cross. So you always keep it interesting. So I appreciate you taking the time for this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, as always.
That does it for another episode of the City of Smack podcast. Thanks for listening and supporting. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend, leave a review and rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you want to contribute and support the show, you can also back us on Patreon by visiting patreon.com/cityofsmag or send over any tip or one-time donation over to City of Smack on Venmo. You guys are all the best. Thanks for listening. Legs are feeling good. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.